Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with Bitish from the Cleveland, Ohio Bitcoin meetup.
Here we are again, Local Bitcoiners. Rev Hodel here. I'm back with Reed. And tonight we've got Bitish from the Cleveland, Ohio meetup culture. We're going to talk to Bitish and learn all about the amazing things that they've been able to develop over the years doing the Cleveland Bitcoin meetup. And normally I would lead in with a story about a meetup, but I was actually sick and I missed the Chicago BitDevs, which I would have normally attended last Thursday. And so tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about something else, and that is parallel systems. So there's been this parallel systems thought, you know, the Meshdadel, all these things has been coming up for me a lot lately. And, you know, when you have Bitcoin and you have Bitcoin itself as a parallel system to begin with. So if you're going to want to build parallel systems, well, Bitcoin's already got you covered. And all you got to do is figure out how to use it with somebody else. And there you go. You've got a parallel system, just two people. And so my favorite example of this for myself is the corner store down the road for me. I've spent years going into this corner store. Every time I go in there, I say, will you take my Bitcoin? Will you take my Bitcoin? Will you take my Bitcoin? And eventually they said yes. And so before we started recording here, I stopped at the corner store and I bought a couple beers. And the Bitcoin that I used to buy those couple beers was from the gracious support of the listeners right here from the Boosts. Now, how cool is that? I record an episode, I put value out there, the value comes back to me, and I can take that Bitcoin and I can spend it right with another Bitcoiner, another local Bitcoiner, local to me at the corner store, and get this beer and drink the beer while I record another episode. That sounds like a circular economy. And the cool thing about it is that I have an opportunity to earn those sats that I spent with that corner store back, because when they're short on eggs, they buy eggs from me. If I have, if I'm unable to sell the eggs, I got too many eggs in my fridge and I need some space, I can take them over there. And when they pay me for those eggs, guess what? They pay me in Bitcoin. And then when fall comes, and if I've got some lamb available and they're up for it, they buy lamb for me and they pay in Bitcoin. And so the Bitcoin is bouncing back and forth in my own peer-to-peer universe with this guy over there at the corner store. And I've managed to create a parallel system for myself. And so you can, meetups create an opportunity for everybody to do this, where you can build a relationship with somebody at the meetup. You can build relationships with people that you meet through the meetups and cooperate together and build a parallel system. And it doesn't have to be something with a rule book and a leader and all of this stuff. It's just peer-to-peer digital cash, just operating outside of fiat. And so that's all I have today. Reed, how about you? Do you have any meetup adventures or anything going on with meetups for yourself?
So does your corner store guy, does he go to your meetups?
Yeah, he does. And he brings stuff in from the corner store and he sells it. And usually, you know, he doesn't get there quite often. So it's pretty exciting when he does, because he's got a lot of, they make smoked meats and sausages and stuff there. They kind of have like, I wouldn't say it's a butcher shop, but they have a kitchen where they prepare food. And so he brings some of that prepared food in, and it's tasty and people enjoy buying it.
Cool. So in terms of my meetup, so I talked about our last meetup the last time, and our next meetup actually is not until definitely a few weeks from now. So I don't really have a meetup story either, which is kind of funny that neither one of us, of all the episodes, this is kind of our first one where neither one of us really have a good meetup story. And tomorrow was both the Albany meetup and the new Connecticut meetup. They're both tomorrow. And my original plan was to go to one of those. And that plan has been, it's not going to happen anymore. My boys have a piano concert. And so that was, I didn't have that on my calendar. And so that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, which is still fun, but not a Bitcoin meetup. So I kind of thought I would take my little minute here. Since we're going to have a packed show in the second half talking about the V4V stuff. And I wanted to slip in just a minute to talk about some of the developments that we've been implementing for the website. So, our website continues to get new features. So one of the things, I guess the big first thing to talk about here is, if you haven't noticed already, we've rebranded. So on the podcast stream, you'll see a new logo. On our socials, you'll see the new logo, a new background. Those we have been working with Soul Exporter on for quite some time, actually. And we're really happy with the way that it came out. And so we're really excited. And we've gotten all the logos and the branding. Those are all now integrated into our website. And the other big addition that we have to the website is we now have a supporters page. Now, the supporters page is a little bit different than our stats page. Our stats page, you know, that's where we collect a lot of numbers and things like that. But the supporters page is really a page that's dedicated to the people who support this show. So in terms of people who are sending us value, that would be the boosters, the streamers, the zappers. You're now all recognized on the supporters page. And there are so many of you that we decided to come out with different tiers of supporters. So we have, for those of you who have boosted or streamed us over 100K sats, you're in the top tier. That would be the sovereign tier. Then we have the next tier down is the frontiersman. That's 69K sats plus lifetime. We have the trailblazers, which is 21K sats lifetime. And then for everybody else who's ever streamed us or boosted us at any sats, you're in the pioneers category. Each one of these categories actually has its own Noster follow pack. So if you want to follow everyone who's boosted our show, our community, you can go do that with just a couple clicks. And now you can add all these people to who you're following on Noster. We also have other people who have supported the show, like our show guests. Show guests have their own section. So if you're ever trying to find, who's been on the Local Bitcoiners podcast, well, now you can find them on our supporters page. So those are some of the big changes that we've made to the website. And I'm happy to talk more about those when we get to the V4V. But I think for right now is a good time for us to introduce Biddish. So welcome to the show, Biddish. We're really glad to have you on. If you'd like, why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself and tell us about your meetup?
Yeah, hey, it's glad to be on with you guys. It's really cool to be here. You know, I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing. I'm a fervent believer in, you know, local circular economies, small groups, and, you know, in-person communities. I think it's vitally important, and I think it really moves the needle, like when it comes to culture and, you know, and everything else that builds around that. So anyways, a little bit about me and us. You know, I'm here representing Cleveland Bitcoin. You know, we've been around for a handful of years, and we've grown pretty steadily and fast. I think there's a really big thirst in our area for not just Bitcoin, but just community in general. Finding other people that are like-minded with similar sort of belief systems, and you know, and it's people from all walks of life. One of the things I find, you know, really cool. Meetups have all different kinds of flavors. I think different meetups are comprised of, you know, just a certain whatever group of people that happen to be there. And for whatever reason, you know, Cleveland, we're pretty diverse. We have we're primarily like a social meetup. So it's just people from all different walks of life, from all different places, just all with the sort of general similar sense that something's wrong and that there seems to be an answer in Bitcoin, right? And so from there, you know, we just sort of got together and hung out, made sure to meet up once a month, same time, you know, same place every time. And it just kind of grew from there, you know, and we from there, we sort of moved into, you know, we kind of thought about like, what else can we do? Not just sort of meet and hang out, but, you know, what can we do to move things forward? You know, we've tried different things. We've tried educational stuff. You know, we've actually gone and talked to some gold bugs at the Pico top of Bitcoin, trying to get them to convert to Bitcoin. We've done all kinds of outreach and sort of community efforts. But then we've also done a lot of circular economy stuff, which has been kind of an interesting road for us. And I'd love to talk a little bit about it because I think we're a little bit different. A lot of the guys that are doing circular economy, they have a lot of producers. So they have, you know, homesteaders in the group, and they have people, you know, making stuff right then and there. But for us, we're almost like a reseller economy. A lot of us have found ways to sort of import goods into the area from meetups across the country, and then resell them here, and help save on shipping or whatever it may be. But essentially, bring value into this whole Bitcoiner economy through other means. We're really just a kind of a ragtag group putting on different events and just trying to be out there and be vocal and letting people know that, hey, Bitcoin exists and it's here to help everyone.
So yeah, I know we want to of course circular economies are on our agenda. Definitely we want to hear more about that, but I'm going to take the opportunity while we're still at the beginning of the episode. One of the things we like to kind of cover a little bit, and we don't do it like religiously, but I always find it fascinating if people can tell a little bit their meetup origin story. So I'd love to hear, like, how did you get involved in meetups? Like, how did the Cleveland meetup start? Like, did you start it? Did you inherit it? Like, what's your path been like?
So that's a funny story. It started because so we were kind of coming out of COVID. Right. It was around that time period. And my wife said to me, she goes, "I'm sick of your face. Can you please go find some friends?" And so what she did was she actually went on meetup.com and said, "Hey, there's a bunch of Bitcoiners meeting up on Friday." And it was like maybe a Monday or Tuesday. And she goes, "They're all meeting up on Friday, so you should go talk to them." And I'm like, "Okay, fine." She's like, "Stop talking to me about Bitcoin. I don't care. Go find some friends who care," jokingly and everything. So she basically kicked me out of the house. That day, there was a Telegram handle on there. So I messaged that, and then it was just crickets. Didn't hear anything back for days. And then it wasn't until like Thursday, one of the guys messaged me and goes, "Hey man, this was Friday a year ago." So that was the absolute last meetup that they had, because it really ended up being just the two of them, and the two of them had been meeting for a year and nothing had happened. And so it sort of fell apart. So, we were kind of hanging out online, chatting all day. And I said, "Look, man, this is like first time I've really even chatted with Bitcoiners. I've always been a silent Bitcoiner my whole life. I bought and stacked and did nothing else." Right. I said, "Let's just meet up. Let's talk Bitcoin. I need to get out of the house. Let's, if it's two of us, it's two of us." And he threw it out on Twitter, social media, whatever. And the next thing, we show up there, and next thing we had 10 people. We even had like three women. Crazy, right? So we, and from there we said, this was a great time. We were hanging out all night, and we said, "Look, let's just do this every month, same time, same place." Because how did you guys find us? That was super random. I feel like other random people will find us as well if we just stay consistent. And so we did that. So we still, to this day, years later, still meet, second Friday, 7 p.m., second Friday of every month. And we haven't missed one yet, we even had a storm roll in, which knocked down all the power out of like multiple towns in the area. We still, including our, regular meetup, we still ended up meeting up and had about seven people show. So it's, we have a really fervent group of hardcore Bitcoiners who really care, I think, about the same things, that really care about community and everything like that. And so having that sort of big core group has given us the ability to, try different things and, experiment a little bit with how we can get organized and how we can reach out to other people. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been very interesting.
I'm sure that this trajectory is probably similar to many of the other meetup organizers that we talked to. And it started off as just meet up on a regular basis. All right, we got people coming. But then once people start coming, the consistency kind of gets too consistent. And now some variety needs to be introduced in order to keep things fun and exciting. So what do you have, like, any... what are some of the fun things that have evolved into the meetup over the course of the years that it's been going on to give that variety, to make it a little bit more fun? I know you guys do the flags, and that's a pretty fun thing that we started. We've actually taken that here at South Bend and taken that example. We've got a flag for the South Bend meetup. But what are some of those fun things, like the flags? You could talk about that too. Just let us know. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, I think you know, our main thing is we're a very social meetup. And actually, you know, myself and a couple other organizers, we actually, you know, have done a lot of event planning type stuff in the past. And so what sort of put us on the map, I think, was our halving party a while back. And we had 100 people show up. We, you know, we're at capacity. We're seeking people in the back. And it was a huge success, even though we got kicked out like an hour early by an NFL team. They came through, you know, paid the venue, said we just want to be there. And the funny story, the random anecdote, but as we were walking, I was cleaning up, one of the players looked around, they're like, hey, is there a Bitcoin party here? Shit, you know, we'd have hung out with them, because I think a couple of them were getting paid in Bitcoin. So it was a really interesting thing. You know, if we maybe had crossed paths for another 10 more minutes, you know, things could have been different. But nonetheless, it was a really good time, and it really kind of put us on the map. You know, it showed that, hey, we're here. You know, we're doing something. There's people that actually, you know, care about Bitcoin. So come. And people started coming out of the woodworks. You know, it was interesting because, you know, we've been running for several years, and every single meetup we have, I would say probably 20 to 50% new people every single time. Someone who's just never been to a meetup before, is never showing their face. And then we started getting, you know, and then the other half is like the core group. You know, we see these guys every single time. But we've grown to the point where now, you know, people have their own lives. There's people that I consider sort of OG Cleveland Bitcoiners who have not met other OG Cleveland Bitcoiners, just because, you know, even though they've all been part of the group for years, but, you know, sometimes ships in the night, that sort of thing happens. And I think that's part of actually what makes things interesting, because someone could have been here, you know, been a member for a year, you know, they come maybe once every three months, right? And then someone else comes every other month. They don't end up meeting each other, you know, until half a year down the line. But it keeps things fresh, right? It keeps, you know, kind of people rotating in and out. But then from there, you know, we try to do a lot of other stuff. We did educational stuff, because a lot of people were asking. They said, hey, you know, we'd love to learn more about Bitcoin. A lot of the people that find us just Google us, they find our website because they just have a question about Bitcoin or something's happened. You know, one time we had a guy, he messaged us on the website. He said, yeah, you know, I bought like $50,000 worth of liquor using Bitcoin, and the liquor store says it never showed up. I couldn't find it, you know, and we're going through all these issues trying to figure out what's going on. They're just reaching out so random. It was a desperate sort of thing, like, hey, like, figure this out. And I thought to myself, well, this should be the easiest thing. I mean, it's transparent. Like, let's just look it up, right? So I just say, hey, give me the transaction number or transaction ID. We pulled it up, saw that, hey, yeah, it landed in the wallet. Turns out the guy just needed to update and install an update, refresh the wallet, and boom, there it was. Right. But, you know, and it's just stuff like that where these random people will find us super thankful. I have no idea who this guy is. I don't know if he's ever showed up to a meetup. But there's Bitcoiners out there, you know, there's people that are out there and they're just looking for a place to land. And so doing these parties and having educational events, and now we're sort of pushing that whole circular economy thing, having unique goods available. You know, we got guys that do designs and 3D prints and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, you know, just try to, whatever, you know, we can come up with that people think is fun, you know, we'll try it out, see what happens.
That's awesome. It makes me think too of my, we had a halving party for our meetup, and that that was by far our biggest meetup, and people still talk about it to this day. So with all the different stuff you've tried, is this stuff, are you still just doing one meetup a month and you just, do you just change it up, or like, how do you get all those different types of meetups in?
Yeah, so we typically do just one meetup a month. And if we have any special events, we'll kind of do them, you know, 2 weeks later or something, kind of split the meetup whenever possible. But, you know, we'll do a lot of sort of side stuff. Like, we had a 100K stake party. We had a second stake party, I think, when we, you know, dropped down to like 69K or something like that. You know, we just do a lot of, you know, fun stuff like that. We do picnics, you know, we'll do rock climbing. I mean, we have a lot of families in our group as well. And so they'll, you know, bring their kids and come out and things like that. And yeah, so we just, you know, sorry, Reed, I kind of lost my train of thought. What was your question again?
Are you doing more than one meetup a month, basically?
Yeah, sorry. So we try to keep it to one a month, because when we started doing 2 a month with the educational stuff, it became a lot. It really became difficult because we had to have people come in and volunteer, right? Ultimately, people had to be willing to teach something. I know everybody's got something to teach, but it's almost like pulling teeth sometimes to get people to step up and actually do things. So we tried to do that for a little while. We turned it into kind of one-off, just whenever someone had a topic, and it sort of fizzled a little bit after that. But people are clamoring for it again. So maybe that's something that we'll bring back again, you know, doing stuff about mining or anything else like that. This isn't really to the number of meetups, but just kind of related to that. So that first year that we were organized, we were meeting at one place downtown. It was really kind of interesting story. So we were meeting there for about a year. And it turns out there was another group that was meeting in Akron, which is probably 30 to 40 minutes south of us. And for the longest time, we didn't know they existed. They didn't know we existed. And it wasn't until we started posting our stuff on Club Orange, which is the Orange Pill app, you know, AKA putting our name out there, putting us, you know, in other communities and things like that, reaching out, you know, they found us. And it turns out, you know, there was this whole other community of Bitcoiners about as big as we were meeting this whole time. And so we said, hey, let's combine forces. We're stronger together. And so we ended up moving our meetup to where they were, because they were kind of halfway in between. And then we sort of, you know, combined forces and built it bigger from there, right? We immediately doubled our size and everything. But so then for a year, we were meeting at this other location, but they weren't very amenable. They were kind of just, you know, tolerating us. Because, you know, we would put Bitcoin stickers on stuff and we would sort of talk about Bitcoin and we harassed the waitresses about paying in Bitcoin jokingly, you know, and the waitresses were cool about it, but the ownership wasn't really happy about us taking over an entire patio every, you know, once a month. But so then we decided, you know what, we need to start meeting where we're wanted. So we found a better place where these guys weren't Bitcoiners yet, but, you know, they were interested and they were willing to, you know, hear what we had to say, why it mattered. So we ended up moving to the third location, and we've been there for a whole nother year. And at this point now, we've grown to the point where we realize that we cover a really big geographical area. And this is an interesting problem that we have, because we have people that come in regularly from about 2 hours away at the most. So from our two locations, Cleveland and Akron, are roughly, you know, 30 to 40 minutes away. So when we have someone coming in from 2 hours away to Cleveland, they're almost 3 hours to where we actually meet up. And so we've actually gotten to the point where we might actually need to be splitting out into chapters, where we're going to have split back out into a Cleveland and Akron chapter, all under sort of the same umbrella, where, you know, we can probably capture more people, right? Like more people will be willing, because one of the things we also noticed, people were kind of getting burnt out, you know, just being only a social meetup, the same crew, same people, same conversations, that does get a little bit dull. But we've noticed that, you know, at each geographical location that we go to, there's a whole different core group of people that show up, simply because it's just, you know, more accessible. And so what we've done now is, now it kind of breaks it up. So even months we're in one location, odd months we're in the other location. You know, it gives people a little bit more breathing room. If they want to just show up every other month, you know, they can still feel like they've made every single meetup. And it furthers that little thing where now you've got people in the group that don't know other people in the group. Maybe they're from one chapter and the other. And it just makes it all more interesting when we have those bigger events where everyone gets together and everyone sees everybody. It's been very organic, right? It's all about what people want, what people need, where we're at, and type, you know, the people that are showing up, you know, what do you want out of this?
So I imagine that this is where, like, the group chat becomes very valuable, right? If you got people that haven't been, you know, haven't crossed paths at the meetup, because they're just the frequency and the way that people end up showing up means that they've been both attending for a long time, but they may never actually have crossed paths at the meetup. But if there's a group chat and they're both in there, now they're still able to connect to a degree. And so I know you guys have this, you're using Discord right now. It's like actually one of the most active group chats that I've seen related to a meetup. do you find that that's been a pretty valuable asset to the group?
Significantly. So we actually started out on Telegram, and it was just an absolute shit show. You know, getting all, you know, spam and bots, and we had no way of, you know, sort of validating who was there and all of that. So we ended up moving to Discord kind of begrudgingly, because, you know, it's not the best solution, but it gave us a framework for what we needed, which was to have a public link, right, where anyone could land in and they can come and ask questions, whatever. But they're restricted to a handful of channels. And then it isn't until they show up to a meetup, meet one of us in real life, someone, you know, in the group can validate that, hey, they're a real person, they're actually into Bitcoin, they're not a scammer, that sort of stuff. Then you can get approved and you can see all the wider channels. And we have a ton of channels, we break it up into all different kinds of things, different topics. You know, we have, you know, a memes channel, we have an off-topic channel, we talk about health and wealth, we talk about you know, homesteading, we talk about you know, gardening, we talk about finance, we talk about stocks, we talk about memes and AI and, you know, everything that a Bitcoiner talks about, really. It's all kind of there. And so that keeps it very active, because you have people who don't give a shit about some of this stuff and people who are just, you know, absolutely gung-ho about others. So it's really cool. Like I said, we have people that come from all over, right? So we have guys that are finance guys, we have plumbers, we have a guy that drives trash truck. You know, we have lawyers, and so everyone's got a little bit of expertise in something somewhere. So it's just become actually a really good resource. We have, you know, a really good resource for whatever question you have, even if it's not related to Bitcoin. So yeah, we find it extremely valuable, but it does actually create a whole nother problem for us, which is, you know, how you have ships in the night where people don't know each other, they don't actually meet each other. Well, we have a sort of parallel problem where we have people that know each other on Discord or know each other's screen names, and know each other in person, but don't connect the two together. And it's really hard sometimes to keep track of who have you been talking to for the last month. Now we show up and, you know, and it's a recalibration sometimes.
I definitely have that same issue personally, because I'm in all these different group chats for all the meetups that I go to, and then a bunch of group chats for other meetups around the country. And, you know, if I end up at, especially the ones that I go to locally, you know, I'll be talking to someone for a while and they'll be like, dude, I'm so-and-so from the group. And I'm like, holy shit, I'd never met you before in person. So you introduced yourself with your first name and instead of your NIM. So hi, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Yeah. And it definitely comes up a lot. Now, I imagine too, like, so if you've got the first level is like public, anybody can get in there just to find the group, interact with the group. So there is like some discoverability layer to the group chat. Like it helps the discoverability of the meetup, which is cool. I think I've been hearing a lot of bad shit about Discord. I personally don't like using Discord. You know, I hope that there's like a better Lindy type of thing that will come up in the future that's more sovereign and less KYC or whatever, like less manipulable from the central party. But so you've got the initial layer, right, of public. Then if you come to the meetup, you get kind of, you unlock the actual group chat. Is there an even deeper layer? Is there an inner sanctum for like the organizers or like the people who are stepping up and willing to like try and do the event planning and all that stuff?
Yeah, and in fact, there sort of is. The inner sanctum is for the people who come in and donate. So we have actually we have an organization that we created, which is sort of our fiat front, so to speak, right? We call it Stackworks, and it's a registered company and everything like that. We're working on the 501c3. We've been working on it for quite a while now, but it's just, you know, life getting in the way. But you know, making it a 501c3 so that anything that we need to do that, you know, faces the public on a fiat front, we have something that sort of insulates the group. And so, but at the same time, it also helps us build up our treasury. You know, we have our own sort of Bitcoin treasury that we use to pay out, you know, for events and things like that. And so, you know, anyone that sort of contributes to that fund, they're also a donor. And so we have a whole nother, you know, separate group in there for donors, where a lot of times, you know, when we're making club decisions, we tend to sort of open it up to everybody. The admins will discuss it before any major decisions made. Everyone else can sort of have their opinion. But it's nice to have another area where those people who have really put their money where their mouth is, right? And really stepped up to that next level to support the group, and, you know, be a part of, you know, that value for value exchange, right? Whether you're stepping up with money or coming in and, you know, helping to organize and doing stuff, you know, you have a little place to really chat and sort of hang out with the people that you know are really, really the ones that are there for the long haul.
Dude, that I know that so parallels what, you know, we've been going down this whole value for value road with this podcast, and you're so right, you know, and we have had podcasts before where we talk about how there are value for value concepts that you can bring to Bitcoin meetups. And even just something as simple as an exclusive group chat for people who actually donate, that's a very, you know, low lift. You know, because it doesn't have to be, you know, you have like a big complicated, or it sounds complicated to me. I don't really use Discord, but like with lots of different channels and rules and stuff like that. But I mean, you could just have, you know, a Signal chat that's completely separate. And this is, hey, you get invited here, you know, only if you become, if you send us some sats. So I think that's a really great low level lift idea of how you can bring some value for value concepts to an in-person physical Bitcoin meetup.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important because, like, at the end of the day, you know, all to put on events and to do stuff takes funding. You need to have money to do it. You know, it's not free. I'd love it to be, but that's just not the case. And so having some sort of mechanism for the club itself to generate income gives you the ability to do more, to do bigger things, to be more public facing as well, because I think that's also important. You know, a lot of meetups tend to just sort of be this little group in and of itself, and it's great. You support each other and you have like-minded people, but, you know, we have to also realize like the bigger battle is out there as well. And so, you know, the people that are around you, like the guy at the corner store, right? Like, we need to be out there and talking to those people, the people that you commerce with on a daily basis. I think that's super important. Anybody you're exchanging value with in the, you know, in clown world, bring them over, you know, talk to them about it, help them understand. You don't need to orange pill the world, but just orange people, you know, the ones that are directly around you, really.
So let's, before we switch too far off topic, because I know we have a whole bunch of different stuff we want to talk about, I do want to make sure that while we're still talking about your meetup, I've got questions and we'd like to hear more about some of these circular economy things that you've got going on, because I really like the way that you framed that, you know, because I would say personally for me, like my meetup, it sounds like maybe is a little bit similar to yours. Like, we don't have a lot of people, like nobody's bringing in eggs to ours because nobody at our meetup has chickens, you know? So it's like, we're all trying to figure out what to bring. We did start some stuff. So we have like a page where people can post stuff, but people are kind of all struggling to figure out what they should bring and what people at the meetup actually want to buy. So it sounds to me like you guys may have cracked at least part of that or found something that works for your meetup. So I'd love to hear more about that and how that's going for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think our major philosophy around it had always been just focus on the things that you want, the things that you need, right? So think about, I think the way it kind of came about, really, at least from my end of it, was there was some stuff I wanted to buy from Bitcoiners. And unfortunately, they're across the country and shipping is expensive. You know, I can buy one of them and pay one shipping, or I can buy 10 of them and pay one shipping. And so I thought to myself, well, if I want this, other Bitcoiners probably want this as well, you know, and that quickly then led to, okay, now we have all these events and we have giveaways and baskets and different things that we want to, you know, have. Well, we need goods for that. Well, we can't just ask people to, you know, donate one off or whatever. Let's start almost like a treasury of stuff, right? And we can go around the country, use, you know, quote unquote economies of scale, and yeah, not massive, but, you know, we can order a few items. And so at that point, so I sort of put it out there to people and I said, look, if you're going to buy something from a Bitcoiner, whether it's SoapMiner, you know, or you're going to get some Oshi or, you know, whatever it may be, Great Ghee, you know, if you're going to buy something, buy a couple more, because I'm sure somebody else is going to want it. Put a little markup on it for your time, you know, we, and then we all essentially split the shipping, give a little bit back to the club because we provide this venue for you to be able to do this. And then, you know, and then that sort of grows that economy. It was, you know, so it just started out really, I think someone, I want to say it was like with Oshi, actually, someone maybe had, you know, gotten a couple extra jars and said, hey, this stuff is awesome. Does anybody else want some too? You know, I'd reached out to Satoshi Coffee Company, you know, because I drink coffee, you know, every month, but they sell a 3-pack. So I said, hey, I'll buy a 3-pack and sell 2 of them. Why not? Right. And it just kind of went from there.
That's so fascinating, man, that you can take there is enough products and stuff that are desirable for Bitcoiners. It's like, yeah, I can go get ghee at Costco, or I can get the best ghee and pay with Bitcoin from some other Bitcoiner and support the Bitcoin circular economy. And so it's like all these things, these offerings are big enough on Nostr now to where as a meetup, you can kind of get a bulk shipment of it and everyone gets access to those products without having each person paying for the shipping individually. So that's a really awesome way to do it. And so you said there's a little bit of a payout to the treasury, like the treasury takes a little bit in coordinating this or for the marketplace or whatever. So that's like one example of generating a little bit of sats flow. It's like the club is providing some value. You can kick some value back and keep this thing going. Are there some outside of the donors in that, are there some other ways that you guys have been providing services or generating some sats flow?
I mean, generally speaking, that's what we've just kind of been doing. A lot of it has really been on the backs of people just volunteering their time, right? Volunteering their goods. We reach out a lot to sponsors just in the Bitcoin community, right? So we have a lot of different companies and different people who you know, kick in stuff here, you know, whenever we have an event or anything like that. Cause it just helps everybody else out. Right. People have found a lot of, a great sort of lifelong products that they start using because they won something at one of our events. You know, we'll put together sort of gift baskets and you'll have, you know, 5 or 6 items from different Bitcoiners around the country. A lot of times people find something that they love and they're like, oh, wow, this is even better than what I've been using. You know, we had that story with SoapMiner. You know, somebody won some soap, used it and said this was life changing for them. So and you know, and now SoapMiner's got a customer for life. So it's that's been pretty cool. And it actually something else that was a little bit interesting, that is kind of a recent happening, because we've been pushing so hard on this circular economy button, you know, people started making some sats. And so other people saw that and they're like, hey, you know, I'd like to kind of get in on the action. I'd like to make a couple sats on this side, but what can I do? And it really got people's wheels turning. And one of the guys reached out and he said, hey, my brother, he's not a Bitcoiner, but he's got 60 chickens, you know, and would anybody want some fresh eggs? And, you know, the group chat kind of exploded like, hell yeah, like everybody wants fresh eggs, you know, especially for sats. And so that's the kind of sort of out of the box thinking that can happen when you just have the inspiration sitting there, right? And he may never have thought to ask his brother for eggs or anything like that had we not been going down this path. So yeah, so a lot can happen if you just sort of just try and see. You know, you never know.
Sweet, yeah, man, it's inspiring. And so hopefully people hear this message and start to realize. I mean, we've said this in other shows, but hopefully, you know, the more examples that we can put over the airwaves here of how you can get a local circular economy started in Bitcoin, like these are all things like any meetup can do this.
Yeah, anybody can go and buy in bulk, you know?
Right. Well, it's not even that, right? It's just if you order something, just order more than one. Like that's such an easy thing to do. So I think I'd like to pivot a little bit. And so one of the topics that I wanted to definitely make sure that we covered, we've talked on several episodes about the idea of like regional meetups. So it's like what you've got your meetup and there are other meetups in your area. And so a bunch of meetup organizers have started to go more all in on these like regional type meetups. And I know that you have like this Midwest Bitcoin Summit coming up. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that and about like how you're involved in it or like what your role has been in trying to get that conference or summit going?
Yeah. So this is the first year. We're not organizing it per se or anything like that, but we are definitely involved. It's coming out of the Columbus area. But it's the Midwest Bitcoin Summit. It'll be the first one. And we figured, look, if there's going to be a meetup in our, you know, in our backyard, essentially, we need to be involved as much as we can, push this as much as we can, because if we don't do it, there won't be a second year, you know? And so having that representation in the area, that really puts a lot of awareness out there, right? To let people know, hey, it's not just us in Cleveland. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the region, there's probably a meetup somewhere near you. You know, so you can get there and you can do it. There's more Bitcoiners out there than you know. You're not alone. You're not the crazy one thinking that things are broken, you know. And so just having all of that out there has been great. It's actually interesting because they're also pairing with like the largest cannabis convention sort of thing in the region as well. I guess it's kind of sponsored or run by similar groups of people. And so there's a whole other group of people who could benefit greatly from using Bitcoin, you know, that are now going to be sort of ingrained into all of this. So that'll be really exciting. And then what we're trying to do, you know, we're going to have a booth there. We're going to do our whole circular economy thing. And then that's actually something I kind of wanted to reach out also to Noster while I've got this platform here, you know. If anybody has any goods that they want represented at the Midwest Summit, reach out to me. I'm Biddish. You guys know me, you know, and I can have some of your goods over there. We can help sell on your behalf and we'll figure out some deal, you know, because it'll be really cool just to be able to showcase like, look, this is what Bitcoiners can do across the country. You know, there's all this cool stuff we don't need. Everybody else, we've got a circular economy, we're good here, you know. So yeah, and we're also putting together hopefully putting together an after party sort of thing, you know Cleveland rocks, so hopefully we can do some something music related, but we'll see. That's early days yet.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about if you guys had been able to work any music into the meetups, because I know you're pretty involved in some music stuff. But there was a thing that I wanted to kind of piggyback on, just kind of general assessment of the recent stuff we've been discussing. And that, of course, I like permaculture and I always think about permaculture. And this integrate rather than segregate principle just is like ringing so true to me right now. And kind of going back to the beginning where I'm talking about parallel systems, it's like you guys created the Cleveland Bitcoin meetup. And all of a sudden, here comes Noster. And Noster's got a bunch of products. And the Cleveland Bitcoiners want products on Noster. And so it's like two parallel systems now, if you integrate them together, supercharges it. And then you can take that same concept and you can say, hey, we've already proven that when you put your products over here to Cleveland, people want them. And I'm going to come over here to the Midwest Bitcoin Summit and allow, you know, now you can further integrate that in a different level at a regional level. And so I don't know, just the integrate rather than segregate thing just keeps coming up over and over again. It's like, if we can think about ways to take all this cool shit that we're doing that seems like separate worlds, Noster, Bitcoin meetups, like, no, that stuff needs to be linked together. And so anyways, the music stuff, dude. So have you guys been able to do any shows or, I know you're like really interested in the decentralized music thing. You've got the Hash Power Records or Hash Power Music going on. What's been happening with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's V4V Music, which is just, you know, it as a Bitcoiner, it only makes sense to me, right? It should be value for value. Music's one of those things that music is culture. That's why I say music is culture. And, you know, culture is probably one of the most important things that are out there because it really sets trajectory on everything that we do, you know, as people. You know, we can have technology be a certain thing, but if the wrong culture is applied, you know, bad things can happen. And so if the wrong music is out there, so to speak, right, if the message is broken, if things are, you know, aren't right, you know, that reflects in the music, that reflects in what's, you know, what we hear and what people are listening to. So it's a really good barometer for where we are. And so that's something that's worth supporting, right? Because I think it's something that's gotten perverted. It's something that's gotten sort of broken because of how music is discovered. You know, when you discover music nowadays, it's there's an algorithm that tells you, hey, this is what you want to listen to. You listen to this, so I'm going to give you more of that. and that sort of thing. And then it ultimately sort of creates this system where, you know, certain types of sounds get more clicks. So more artists then create that same type of sound, right? Because they need more clicks. And so people are now writing music for computers, not for people. And that sort of destroys culture, right? It creates this artificial culture that is controllable, and you know that the powers that be can slap on top of you, and suddenly now you're docile and obedient, right? So I think, you know, it's vitally important that we save music and that we support independent artists and everything like that, because that's really where our voice is. And so, you know, going back to sort of connecting disparate systems and things that don't seem to be related, well, I think this is super related. I mean, like, you know, like I said, music touches on the way we do everything. Money touches on how we spend, how we interact, right? Nostr touches on how we, you know, we connect with other people. Meetups connect us physically. All of these things are all the same, you know, just different mediums of the same thing, which is just human connection. So it's, you know, so I don't know where I'm kind of rambling with this, but it's just something in my mind. It's just something, one of the most important things that we could, you know, we should be focusing on.
Yeah. I was excited to hear about this topic too. I know you've listened to our show before, but I'm not sure if you've heard like my story a little bit. So we have a new venue. I guess it's less and less new every month, but, we've met there like 3 times, and it's a concert venue. It's like a local small concert venue. And, it's amazing. The people are amazing. It's a cooperative. So it's, you know, it's like co-owned, like community owned, and they share a lot of stuff with the artists, and they're getting very involved in a lot of different things. And we're just a bunch of random Bitcoiners who happen to find that they don't have shows on Sundays, and that's when we do our meetups. And so we have this place. And, so I've been trying to learn more about, I was like, man, this is, if I was ever going to learn about the value music scene, you know, this is the time to start learning. So I've been kind of lurking a little bit, trying to listen to some podcasts, trying to get more plugged, like just trying to figure out the scene. It's not a scene I had ever really explored before. So, I don't know. I guess I'd just really like to hear more about Hash Power Music and what you guys do, like what role you're fulfilling in that ecosystem and industry. And yeah, I guess just about the value music scene in general.
Yeah. So the ecosystem is really cool right now. There's just so much technology that's happening, right? If you think about like the early days of Nostr, where, you know, apps were just coming up and people were doing stuff, and it was just really exciting. Sort of a similar thing is happening on the V4V music space right now, where we have tons of new artists coming in all the time. You know, we had Right Said Fred come in recently. The ones on Too Sexy for My Shirt, you know, those guys. So we have some big names coming through. A lot of new music shows, new music podcasts have started popping up. You know, Avi started doing his Sunday brunch. And so, like, the whole ecosystem is just getting more and more robust as we go. You know, it feels like up and to the right sort of situation. And it's just really cool because it's a parallel universe to what already exists. You know, with Spotify and iTunes and stuff like that, you have real live concerts, Live Nation, Ticketmaster, all that sort of stuff. We have that on our side as well. In the same way that, you know, Nostr has decentralized social media, we have decentralized music. We have, you know, one of the events that Hash Power Music has put on recently, a couple months back, was South by Worldwide. Right. And so that was like a big streaming extravaganza sort of thing. Think of it like a 3-day festival, you know, a music festival. And we just do that, you know, as digital natives, right? We have our digital money that we can use, that's programmable, that we can create more interactivity. We can create something better than what they've done, right? We can have the live concerts that everyone loves. If you want to show up, you can show up, pay your ticket, and you go. It's just like any other concert. But now we've got them streaming. And not only are they streaming, but you know, you can interact with the bands on stage. They can see your comments live. You know, you can, you know, send it and tell all your friends that's watching as well, right? You can interact with them. You know, we can have live triggers where you can make things happen, like you can kind of direct the show from home. And all these cool interactivity things only goes to build more community, create more stickiness, and just get people more involved and feel like they're really a part of something, right? You're not just passively watching a show. You're not just passively listening, but you're, you know, getting involved. You're commenting, you're talking to other people, you're sending value, you know, and posting it, and it's going everywhere. And then other people are reacting in other areas, right? Like you might be watching on the chat and people are talking about the chat, but if you boost in, it goes to Noster. Now people are talking about another thread. It was really cool just to see that all these different sort of webs of connectivity that come out of the technology that we put around it. So I think by reimagining everything this way, you know, that's kind of where I see Hash Power sort of sitting in the whole of the ecosystem, right? You have the podcasters who are sort of, you know, pulling, curating the music. You have the artists that are coming in and bringing the content. You have the fans that are listening and paying and supporting the ecosystem. And what we try to do is sort of bridge a little bit of that fiat world, Bitcoin world gap. So we have, you know, different companies in the fiat world, record label, where, you know, we look for artists, and that's what we do. We try to find them, and we look for the best talent that's out there. But in part of what we do there is we also sort of assess, like, hey, are these people going to be amenable to Bitcoin? Are they the type, you know, who are going to want to sort of self-host and bring the stuff, you know, matters in their own hands? Are they sick of the system? Are they, you know? And when we find, you know, artists that are like that, we start the conversation. We sort of ease in the orange pill. You know, we sometimes will show them Noster, we'll show them Bitcoin, we'll show them Lightning, we'll show, you know, old concerts that we've done. And oftentimes that gets people hooked because they're like, well, look, I have a way of making all the same money I used to make, plus this Bitcoin thing, plus a bigger audience of fervent supporters who don't care if my music sucks. You know, they just want to support me because I support Bitcoin. And that's just the craziest thing to them. But so it's so, yeah, so we sort of bridge that gap, right? We try to bring people over and try to, you know, and then we make the events fun. You know, we try to come up with innovative ideas to, hey, you're not just streaming. It's not just another Spotify, right? There's more to it.
Well, and what really makes it different, the big difference, like the incentive, right, for the musicians to come and participate in this, all that connectivity and interactivity is possible in fiat, right? But what makes it really special is the payments, right? And because the Zaps and the Bitcoin can come and flow, in addition to it going, there's no friction there in the payment. In addition to that, you can programmatically split everything out. And like, this is one of the reasons I think why the music industry is so broken, is because the venues are all gated by all these big, the money flows into one place, and there's a lot of trust that has to be happened. It's just, the money gets stopped at one place, and it's up to them to pay everybody out appropriately. And same thing's true with the labels, right? And so then ultimately there's a lot of, oh, well, but actually, you know, you should be making this much, but there's this guy to pay and this guy to pay and this guy to pay. And you're like, oh, dude, I thought I was getting something more than that. And so now you can just let the sats flow directly to everyone for the deal that they've made for that event. And so this also kind of, dude, one thing that's kind of interesting. All right, Reed's got a venue for a meetup. I'm sure if there was, you could come up with a venue for a meetup, like in a place where people could play music. And so what if you combine this, the shipping issue with Noster, with a tour, right? So the band goes on tour to all these meetups, and at the same time, they're muling some Bitcoin merch, right? Instead, they're like picking up stuff from one meetup, taking it to the next, and now they can actually make even more money by, like, at their merch table selling the hot items from the meetup that they're at prior. I don't know what that becomes, a carnival, a fucking... You know, it's something different. It's not just a band going on tour anymore, right? But that's just one idea that popped into my head while we were.
It's really funny you bring that up because at one point I was talking to Shatterack, and I was talking to him about his A to BTC company that he's been working on. You know, where essentially we're trying to build out a couple of different things. See if we could sort of. My idea was that, hey, let's connect that with meetups, right? Because ultimately, if you've got a trade route that you can run on a monthly basis, coast to coast, making stops wherever, much like what you're talking about with the band, right? whatever traveling group, a circus, doesn't matter, right? If they're going from A to B around the country every month, well, they can bring stuff with them. And if we connect up with all the meetups and we say, hey, each meetup organizer, let's figure out a system where you can have your guys order stuff from our list of vendors, right, that are part of this route. And every month, this guy is going to go around, pick up, drop off around the country. And every month, they'll drop off all the orders for your meetup from all the different vendors. And, you know, maybe it's a slow shipping option. Maybe you put in an order and you got to wait a month to the next meetup to get it. But hey, you know, we're splitting one shipping cost essentially across every meetup across the country, as opposed to each person paying shipping on their own. So it's a really interesting concept. And then when you kind of take that next step further, right? Like, rather than paying a guy to just be the shipping guy, why not piggyback that off of other things that are happening meetup to meetup? You know, one of the ideas that we had even sort of been throwing around was you can then create sort of like a, what is it? The Uber Eats or whatever, Postmates, whatever you want to call it. One of those things, right? If I happen to be driving down to Columbus tomorrow, hey, anybody got anything that needs to go down there? I'll bring it with me as well. You know, throw me a couple sats for gas. So there's a lot of things that can happen. We just need to kind of think creatively as well as collaboratively.
And this kind of stuff has already been happening to a small degree here because I'm traveling around a lot and others are too. And so it is kind of like a, hey, it's more of like, I left my thing at the last meetup. I'm going to be at this next one. Can you bring it to me? And sure enough, somebody's able to do that. But if somebody's able to do that, they're probably able to bring other stuff. I've talked about this in other episodes, but we've been experimenting with like giving each other a stock of product to sell when we go to each other's meetups and everything. And the issue there is we don't have the splits figured out physically yet.
I mean, with what we can do with V4V Music, right? You're able to essentially create splits using RSS feeds. I see no reason why that can't be used as a similar system. You essentially have a database, something that records what the splits need to be for. It could be for per shipment, it could be per whatever. It doesn't really matter, right? It could be like an overall, hey, this is the overall agreement for everything. But either way, you can put those into feeds. They automatically split out and there you go. But having the ability to to do all of this creates, I guess, kind of like a little bit of an extra magic, right? Because that's something that couldn't have happened in that fiat world where, you know, you can't have these direct payments, direct splits across a complicated system. And so all we really need, so we already have, like you said, people sort of doing this on an ad hoc basis. People are just kind of informally doing it. Well, all we really need is some sort of formalized structure, an application or something that can essentially organize all the orders, by meetups or, you know, organized by, you know, vendors. And just something that can essentially show the data that's already out there in an organized fashion and sort of quote unquote central coordinate it. But it could be decentralized, you know, they could run on relays and everything like that, right? You post notes that are orders and things like that. You encrypt it.
Well, yeah. It sounds a lot like a Nostr NIP99 marketplace.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
With much like the Discord channel. If you want access to this marketplace, you have to qualify some level of Web of Trust or be whitelisted in based on some criteria, right?
Yeah, and it's really cool because, you know, just kind of imagining it further, right? You can have, if you have an application that sort of runs all of this, you can have meetup organizers who each have their own white labeled version of this application, which that they can use to organize specific orders within their group, right? So that keeps that privacy so other groups don't have access to that. But as a vendor, right, they could have a separate sort of portal or whatever it may be that shows, hey, where are my orders coming from, broken out by meetups, where they need to go. They won't ever have that data of each individual order necessarily, right? You might, you know, be a NIM that buys it online, but now you kind of fix this problem where like, hey, if I want to order something from this guy, I've got to give him an address, you know, and I don't want to dox myself. I might be willing to show up at a meetup to pick up something, right? It doesn't necessarily dox where I live. And so that's really solved that issue as well. So it's really cool because you can kind of segregate the need to know information programmatically, and everything else just sort of runs in the background, connected through the relays, through notes and everything like that.
Yeah. And so we're a podcast. This is, you know, and we've been playing around a lot with like all this value stuff and splits, and we've got all these features cooked into our website, and those are similar but slightly different than what we have going on in the RSS. And Rev and I talk constantly about this, topic of the splits. Like, how do we do this? How can we get this to be smoother? You know, we have issues with, you know, certain wallets at certain times maybe aren't working quite right, and some of the underneath like plumbing is complicated sometimes. And I happen to be listening to your podcast with Avi on Sunday brunch, and you mentioned something called the split kit. And so I tried to look into it a little bit. It looks like maybe you need to sign up before you can find out what it's actually all about. And so I was like, well, if you're going to be here, could you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, does that solve some of this pain that people feel and trying to do all these splits?
Yes and no. It solves some problems and it introduces others, like a lot of these things. So what the split kit does is it's run by Stephen B. He's a big music guy on the RSS side of the world. He does have an Oster account, but he runs, it's his thing that he rolled because he basically had the same issue. And he said, we need something that works, especially on a large scale, right? We were actually able to use SplitKit and split out, I think, on the So Big concert. It was either that one or the Satellite Skirmish or one of the Satellite whatever shows. But it was a good, you know, 30 to 40 splits or something insane like that. And it worked flawlessly. The way it works is essentially you've got, you know, a centralized server service running somewhere else. And when you pay that service then has a list of everyone else that needs to get split, and it runs it automatically and splits the payment out from there. So it's a pretty simple sort of solution. It doesn't fully solve everything though, right? Because at the end of the day, you're running a centralized service. You know, that if that goes down, well, now all your splits go down. So there's still some stuff to work out, but it's going down the right path, right? Finding these solutions that kind of get us there, and then we can kind of iterate from there. It's one of the problems that I see in Noster, trying to use Noster for splits, is you have to pay each split separately. So even though it looks like you're split out across however many people, it's still multiple clicks. So having something like SplitKit, you know, which I think even if it's not SplitKit itself, right, you can probably roll your own sort of similar thing, whether, you know, and for you guys especially, you have your own show. Well, you could, you know, you can host it yourself. And then, you know, there's a lot more reliability there if you're kind of rolling your own thing. So there's different options and different ways to do it. But yeah, SplitKit, which is one solution that we had on the music side.
SplitKit makes a lot of sense, like to trust that centralized server for an event. That's okay, right? You're just looking at a few hours,
exactly,
for this payload. But if it's like over, that is not necessarily the solution maybe for a long-term trade route, that, you know, that kind of a situation. But at the same time, do the split kits, does it maintain the metadata too, to all the splits?
Yeah. So I think it runs both. Well, it depends on how you send it really, right? Because the aim is always to preserve as much as you can. And it's really just the rails that you send it on that matters. So if you're sending stuff over zaps and stuff like that, you're kind of character limited. It's not going to push a lot of the metadata along, you know, that you normally would want. But it also depends on if you even want the metadata, right? Like for a concert or something, a lot of that stuff doesn't really matter. I don't need to know what show they're boosting and stuff like that because I know it's this one. For podcasters, it may be different, right? Now, that being said, if it also runs keysend on the receiving end of it. So keysend is a lot more reliable and pushes through all of the metadata. But the difficulty with keysend is not that many wallets support it. So if you want to pay you have to pay with a keysend wallet, and not many people use that. Most people have Elm address. So it's sort of like a chicken and the egg. And ultimately, I think the real answer is we need more keysend development, because at least when it comes to these sort of payments, invoicing doesn't make any sense, because the guy who's sitting up on stage playing music isn't sitting there with a tip jar with a pad of paper writing a receipt for each tip that they get, right? Because that's ultimately what you're trying to do with invoicing on Lightning Network. What you do is you have a tip jar sitting there that's open for business, and anyone can come in and drop money into it permissionlessly, right? And that's what Keysend does. And so there hasn't been a lot of development on that simply because it hasn't been as necessary. But I think as we move forward in the moving from HODL to spend and replace to Bitcoin circular economies, right? We need a better push method, a way to force a payment with permissionlessly. And so that I think that it's needed not just in music, right? It's needed, I think, in the commerce space. So if any devs are out there listening, like, you know, take a look at Keysend, see what we can do there. Because I think there's a lot of stuff that we're missing when it comes to Bitcoin adoption, that could be really powerful.
It feels like, man, is that we're right at the edge of the tipping point of the incentives necessary. You mentioned the word silent Bitcoiners, right? You were a silent Bitcoiner. Once these incentives get great enough, now it makes sense. There's enough value here for the silent Bitcoiners to start showing up and saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to join you guys in the actual Bitcoin culture and participate, and we're going to create the parallel system.
Yeah, I mean, it's human nature to say, hey, let somebody else do this, right? But when you're so most people get into it and they just start stacking, they stack and they stack, and they don't do anything with that because someone else is going to figure it out and it'll be worth something later because someone else did something. That's just kind of human nature to do that. But when your stack gets big enough, when you get to a point where you're like, hey, I can't rely on other people to figure this out, like I need to do something about it. You know, that's when people start getting involved, right? Like you said, the value grows, right? There's something to lose now. And then in the same way, on the other side of it, right, now not only do I have this like risk value that's growing, but now I have a resource value that's growing. You have before, as you know, it was just you sitting there. What's the point of going out and orange pilling when you're all by yourself? What does it matter, right? There's no sort of motivation to do it, and you're not going to get anything out of it. But when you're amongst a community and you're amongst a group, you realize there's a whole group of people that are thinking the same way as you. Now you can start to build. Now you can start to create culture and community and go beyond just like living for yourself. And you can actually start doing something about it, because now you've got, you know, power in numbers. You've got more people around you who can actually affect things. And so the more you get out there and meet people and talk to other Bitcoiners, and meetups obviously being the ideal place to do, to start something like that, right? The more you go to meetups and everything like that, the more you're connecting to the community, the more resources you have, the more value that's out there. You realize there's more value out there waiting for you to pick up if you just go and get it. You just have to put in a little bit more effort, marginally more effort, and you get marginally more reward. You know, and that's something that I think a lot of people, hopefully, you know, will come to the realization. Hopefully a lot of Bitcoiners come to that realization.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just looking, so we're getting here towards the end of the first half of the show, and, you know, it was really great learning all this cool stuff you have going on. And so if I was going to kind of give my quick, you know, maybe key takeaway, I guess. I jotted this note down, and it's so funny that we just started talking about it again here at the end, because I jotted this note down way at the beginning of the episode, is that, so if you started out as kind of like a silent Bitcoiner, you know, now like all this cool stuff that you're doing, this all started with you going to that first meetup, right? So it's like the meetup was the entry point into everything else that you have going on in Bitcoin. And I just think that's just like such a cool arc. You know, just knowing that it was the Bitcoin meetup that started you on this path. So I'll turn it over to you, Bitish, I guess. What were kind of some of your maybe key takeaways from this discussion, or other things that you wanted to tell about on this podcast that we didn't really have time to get to, or any other kind of key takeaways or thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just real quick on what you said there, Reed, like, absolutely, you don't know what the future holds. You know, and sometimes it's one little thing that you do that changes the trajectory of your whole life. You know, when my wife was yelling at me to go meet some friends, I never expected all of this, right? I wouldn't be on this podcast. I wouldn't have ever met any of you guys. Probably never would have gotten on Noster. I wouldn't have done, you know, the millions of things. Hash Power Music wouldn't have been a thing. Literally nothing that I'm doing that's like everyday, my everyday life now would never have happened had I not, you know, finally stepped out the door. And you know, I'd been a Bitcoiner for quite a long time since there, you know, like since before that. So it's one of those things, like, what does it take to get you out of your shell and what, you know, to get you there? And it's those incentives, right? I didn't want to get yelled at by my wife anymore. So, you know, I wanted to stay married. So I, you know, I just hope that, I guess, you know, any sort of like takeaways, is like, I hope people find inspiration, because, you know, there's like we talk about here, there's parallel systems that are happening right now that are being built, that are being created. There's massive opportunities to become something, to do something, to move the needle, to matter in this world. And I feel like of all the spaces you could be in, Bitcoin is where you're the most empowered. Doesn't matter who you are, what you know, any of it. Like, you could be a total nobody, a total fuck up, but if you sort of buckle down and like learn the lessons that Bitcoin teaches us, reflect those against the systems that we know exist and see what works, learn what doesn't, and just, you know, build a better world from there. It's totally doable. I know it's kind of pie in the sky talk, but like, you know, reflect on your own life and the things that you do, you know, with all these sort of like big words or whatever concepts, but like, you know, distill that down and see what change you can do in your own life. You know, move the needle just a little bit.
And I'll jump into that. Perfect segue, man, because the parallel systems start with one interaction. That starts with you going to the meetup for the first time and meeting those guys and getting it started. It starts with me going into the corner store and just over the course of a year, just building a peer relationship to where now I've got one little bit of a parallel system connected together. And then after that, once you got one, you build that out. And at the same time, you find other ones. And then you integrate those parallel systems together. And before you know it, we've got shipping services, we've got music tours, we've got everything that you could want, but completely in a Bitcoin-based parallel system. And it's beautiful what we're creating. It's really happening, you know, in a small way, but small and slow solutions, right? Let's just take this one step at a time. The parallel systems exist right now. Those silent Bitcoiners that are out there, you got a lot to gain by coming and joining us.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, I guess that kind of wraps up the first half of the show, which is, you know, we're so glad, Bitish, that you could join us, and thank you again. And I think you said pre-show that you're going to hang out for the VVV section. So I'm going to get that section kicked off here, and, you know, feel free to chime in. You know, you might know some of these people, or maybe you've listened to some of these episodes. So, you know, if you want to chime in on any of these, you know, we spend a fair amount of time here interacting with our audience and really trying to just recognize our supporters for all the cool stuff that they have going on, because they have cool stuff going on. It's really actually awesome just to get to know our community better through all these boosts and zaps and everything. You know, we get to know the people who are listening to the show. And so it's been really fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, the boosts and reading the boosts, recognizing your supporters and all that sort of stuff, that closes the value loop. That's part of the whole V4V thing, right? Because if someone's supporting you, it's not a one-way street. You need to recognize them and show them that thank you and that you care, right? So I'm definitely sticking around for this, because this awesome. I think is vitally important.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons why, I guess I'm still going on here, but one of the reasons why it's been so interesting to lurk around the V4V music space is for that exact reason. Like, we're trying to learn all this stuff, and who better to learn it from than the people who have been implementing this for, you know, for years, really. So yeah, we're trying to hope to take some lessons away from this, from the value for value music, and maybe some of the stuff that we're kind of experimenting with and playing around with. Maybe those would be lessons for other people that they can pick up, like examples of how you can interact with your community. All right. So let's jump in. So we usually start off our value for value section with our leaderboards. And so we've got three different leaderboards. And for those of you who listen to the show, you guys get to hear me go on my normal little spiel here about some of the leaderboards. So the first one that we're going to talk about, these are our top boosted episodes of all time. And so once again, for the manyth time that I've mentioned this, the reason why this leaderboard is cool is because if you don't listen to all of our episodes, you know, we're recording episode 16. And so that's a lot of episodes. Maybe this is your first episode and you're like, wow, these guys have a cool podcast. I'd like to go back, but, you know, 16 episodes is a lot for my my queue on my podcast list. So if you're not sure where to start, a great place to start is our top boosted episodes, right? These are the episodes that our community has found the most valuable. And so if you're looking for a place to start, this would be a great place. So we have some changes, some shakeups here with the leaderboards. We had a lot of action over the last week, and we're really excited to be able to talk about some of this. So we're going to get into it a little bit more here. But episode two, which, by the way, episode two has been on this leaderboard consistently. I think they've been on every single week. So episode two is a long time. That's a long time favorite. But with the help of basically a single boost, it has rocketed to the top and it's way out in front. So we have now episode two is in first place with 152,369 sats. And so that was, again, so episode two was with GC and James from Jersey City. The episode title was Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust. And boy, we hit on some awesome topics in that one. And we have clips that have been going around on Noster. And, you know, apparently this is one that our community just loves this episode because it's now in first place overall. So if you haven't checked out episode two, definitely go back and give that one a listen. Next on the list is this was our top spot last week. So this is episode 14 with SourceNode. And this too was supported by, you know, a big boost. But that's part of the fun of these leaderboards. You know, if you have a favorite episode, you can get that episode to rocket right up to the top of the list. With just, you know, we're calling these big boosts, but, you know, this isn't like life-changing money or anything. You know, you can move these things up the list with, you know, some of your hard-earned sats are going to have to go towards that. But hey, if you want to get, if you really think that this is the best episode, you know, that's what you can do. So SourceNode, he sent us in some sats on that episode, and we've got 112,036 sats. And that episode title was Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode from Greenville, South Carolina. Third place
and I don't,
is...
Well, real quick, I don't know if it's entirely fair to say that SourceNode boosted his own episode to the top, because it is kind of... Sovereign, Sovereign is the one who technically boosted it. So
actually,
I don't know
right.
if it was, and, it was Brandon Karpeles who put that down. I don't think it was SourceNode who did the payment, right? Maybe
SourceNode did
anyways.
Send a big boost, but it was to Johnny's episode.
Right.
Right. Yeah, he boosted the Charlotte episode, but you're right. That's a good call on that one.
Because there are, you know, this is a game, right? We want to make sure that the rules of the game are known. And it's not that there isn't a rule that the episode guest can just boost their episode to the top, but I don't know if SourceNode necessarily did that.
Fair enough. Third place is episode 9 with Sir Spencer, another longtime leaderboard episode. And that one is clocking in, oh man, they're just under 100K sats. So 98,618 sats for episode 9. And again, if you didn't remember from all the other times I've read off the leaderboards, this was episode 9 is Growing Slow, Build Strong Communities, KC Bitcoiners. So that was the episode really that kind of got, that was when we really started getting our butts in gear with all the value for value stuff. Spencer is, was really an excellent resource for us. He's been a mentor in some capacity to us. As you know, we're new podcasters, so we're still learning this whole system. And that was a great episode for us, but it was a great episode for our listeners as well. We covered a ton of really good topics there.
Yeah, that was actually one of my favorite episodes as well, just because I know Spence as well. You know, I love everything he's doing in the V4V music space and everything like that. You know, he worked with me on South by Worldwide. He was instrumental in all that. I mean, they do a lot of heavy lifting over there in Kansas City.
And they sure do know the value for value ecosystem, right? They've got all the different tags and the splits, and they support all the different types of things. And we've actually been talking about actually moving platforms just so, I mean, not just, but we really want to start doing more of these things. And I guess we're implementing our own permaculture principle here, and we're going slow, and we're taking our time, and we're building up our base. We want to make sure that we don't do this in haste. We'll do it with some planning. So definitely a great episode, though. Fourth place is episode 15. So just last week with BTC Russell. Really one of my favorite episodes that we've recorded. And we hit on a bunch of topics that we don't normally get a chance to talk about. They can be a little bit difficult to talk about at times, like talking about Bitcoin privacy, which was a big topic during that show. But anyway, fourth place. Episode 15 with BTC Russell has 80,797 sats. And the title of that one was Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell from Columbia, South Carolina.
You know, and it's really great to see all the support for that episode because BTC Wrestle, our guests all get a split, but BTC Wrestle put his split in to support the families of the Samurai developers, Bill and Keone. And so it's cool that everyone's come out and gave that episode some love. So, you know, in a small way, we're helping, you know, these guys that have dedicated their lives and now they're locked up to give us some tools that make our Bitcoin, that give more utility to our Bitcoin, right? That allow us to use our Bitcoin more effectively. And I really appreciate everyone that's boosted that episode for that.
Yeah, so I just doing some quick math here. So that means that episode, 26,000 sats of those sats are going to Bill and Keone's family. So again, if you want to support the Samurai devs, boost episode 15 with BTC Russell. That's a great way to give back to the show, to get recognized on the leaderboards, to become a supporter on our new supporters page that I talked about at the opener. And to support the Samurai developers' families. So,
And how
love to see
cool would
it.
it be if that was the number one, right? So
This is
every
true.
week we say that, hey, the number one episode is in support of the Samurai guys. That would be pretty sick. I'd be
That
proud of
would be
that.
sick. Well, it's a call to the audience, I guess. We'll see if we can drum up some support there for episode 15. And finally, to wrap out our top boosted episodes is episode 5 with Augie. This is another one that's been a perennial all-star on our top list. It's now down to the fifth spot, but it was as high as one or two for a long time. So episode 5 is clocking in at 64,884 sats. And that one is the meetup is the farmers market with Kansas City, Missouri. And that was really where we started pulling the thread on these circular economies. And it was, for me personally, I'll talk about for me, it was eye-opening to, it was when I realized, you know, how building a circular economy, it doesn't have to be this big, you know, all you have to do is just bring something to the meetup and you've now started a circular economy. And there were so many examples given in that episode, that was really, after that was right when we started for our meetup. The next meetup, I started floating the idea. We got some concepts. We sketched out some ways that we can post things online. And that really all started from talking with Augie. So thank you, Augie, for that. And that kind of rounds out our top five episodes.
The only thing I'll add to that is that episode one is now off the leaderboard. But if you're just hearing this podcast for the first time or you're new listening, if you are interested in starting a meetup or finding a meetup or learning a little bit more about the what a Bitcoin meetup kind of is, what it takes, episode one is where you get all that information. Just listen to episode one and then go jump around to these other top episodes because episode one is, if you're interested in starting a meetup, that has got all the nuts and bolts, Just go over it. So check that out.
Definitely covers the basics. All right, let's move to our second leaderboard. So our second leaderboard, these are our ride or dies. So these are the listeners who have boosted the most episodes all time. So again, a ride or die in my book, these are the people who have been listening to all of our episodes, interacting with all our episodes, boosting all our episodes. And so
the true pioneers.
This is true, right?
You're now on our supporters page, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if I didn't make clear at the opener, right? So anyone who's boosted the show any amount is on our supporters page. And so certainly our ride or dies at the top of the list here are definitely up in some of these guys are in some of the, actually, I didn't actually verify that. But they could be up in our higher tiers here. So
right,
certainly Matthew D is. So let's start up at the top. Listeners who have boosted the most episodes. So we're recording episode 16. So we've had 15 episodes and we have two people who have boosted every episode. And that is, it always starts here with Matthew D. And so Matthew D, thank you for being such a long time and really epic supporter of our show. We really appreciate you. And you have been the consistent number one leader for this leaderboard since we started it. So thank you. And we appreciate that you're continuing to keep your streak alive. And tied for first is now Perminerd. So I think it was last week's episode where Perminerd had gone through and ripped the boost off on every single episode because he started to get into the gamification aspect of the show, which is great. But last week, there was a couple episodes that we found out they got put in as anonymous. But they were very clearly Perminerd. And so we did a little bit of debugging. We did a little bit of retooling. And in fact, it was a bug on our website, which is now corrected. And the stats have been also corrected. So Perminerd, thank you for your continued support of our show. And Perminerd has his own podcast, the Yada podcast, You Are the Algorithm. And, you know, they talk about our show all the time over there, too. And so we hope that we can show the love back to you guys. You know, Rev and I are both longtime listeners of your show as well. So thank you again, Perminerd, and you're right up there with our ride or dies.
That's just another example of integrating the systems together, man. We're doing this together. This is a culture.
Rock on. So next on the list, so this would be technically second place since we got a tie for first place. So second place is Shadrack. Shadrack, also longtime listener, boosted 10 episodes. Thank you, Shadrack. And then third place is Noster Gang, who it seems like we hear from every week. I'm sure we have listened, you know, I'm sure Noster Gang's been boosting us on the regular here for quite a while, but has clocking in at 9 episodes. So thank you for your support, Noster Gang, and thank you also to Shadrack.
So Shadrack says that he doesn't boost an episode unless he listens to it. So that means that Shadrack has missed some. Shadrack, you need to go back and listen to some old episodes, man. Get up on that. Get to the top of the leaderboard. What's going on? I know you're busy, but just trolling you a little bit, Shadrack.
So we have had people in the boost question, oh, I thought, you know, I really feel like I've boosted a lot of shows. Like, how am I not in this list? So, if you'd like to know where you are in this list, we have a couple things on our website now. So if you go over to our stats page on the website, you can see, first of all, it'll show you a little bit deeper. So it'll show you the top 10 list. We only read off the top 3 on the show here, but it'll show you the top 10. But also you can, in the episode leaderboard, you can, if you're logged in with Noster, there's a view that you can see just your stats for your NPUB. And so it will tell you how many episodes you boosted. It will tell you how many sats you've boosted. Just if you log in and you can click on your NPUB. So if you're questioning, maybe I should be on this leaderboard, you know, or just like what happened to Perminerd, maybe you have boosted every episode and it just hasn't come through. And so if you feel like there's something maybe wrong or we've gotten something wrong, you know, reach out to us. You know, we were able to find some bugs and fix them in the past, and We'll certainly do that again if there's other problems. All right, which brings us to our last leaderboard. This is the leaderboard that we get a little kind of the most excited about, I would say. This is kind of a new concept that we sort of dreamed up here. We, of course, don't have ads on this show. We shill our own stuff, but we also mostly what we like to do is we like to shill the stuff of the people who support us. And so this is all, this is the value chain in action. So we have this leaderboard here for the single biggest boosts ever sent to the show. And so we like to call these our ad reads, because not only are we reading off the people, but we'll also go back and read the boost. So if you send us a huge boost, we're just going to read it over and over again, every single show, until you're off the top five list. So the top five boosts, we're always going to read off. So what we've had so far, now we have two examples of people who are actually using this as ad reads. And so we have a new one tonight. We have a new number one overall biggest boost ever sent to the show. I kind of thought last week when Sovereign sent us 100K sats that that would be the number one for a long time, and I was wrong. It only lasted one week. So we have a new number one top boost for 105,000 sats on episode 2. And that comes in from BTC Jackalope. So BTC Jackalope is, he's actually a member of my meetup. And so he is a longtime listener also. He's a longtime listener, but he's kind of new to supporting the show. He doesn't normally listen on Fountain or anything like that. So he has been using our website, and he's now resurrected his kind of Noster account, and he's now putting some miles on his Noster account just so he can interact with the show. So thank you again to BTC Jackalope. And I'm going to read off his boost here. So we've got 105,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from BTC Jackalope. It says, "Escape to the Listening Loft Cabin in Wilmington, Vermont, a modern two-bedroom retreat featuring a signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedding, and a peaceful deck. Perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin and get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information." So there you go. So thank you again to BTC Jackalope. And again, that boost came in on episode 2, which he has repeatedly told me is his favorite episode that we've recorded.
And so if you go to BTC Jackalope's EndPub, you go to his profile, you'll see he's got kind of like some pictures of this over there. He's got some more information over there. And if you do want to take a little trip, you know, and check it out, I'd imagine the best way to get in touch with him is just like comment on that thing and say like, "Hey, I'm interested," or, you know, because Noster DMs are not the best all the time. But yeah, just try and comment on that note. I think that's probably the best way to start a discourse with him. Maybe he'll give you his signal handle or something, you know, and you can move from there.
Yeah, and if you want to reach out to him and you can't get a hold of him, you know, I can try to help facilitate. But also, he's got that website, listeningcabin.com. And I think that there might be ways to reach out to him there.
There you go. Yeah, go to that. I missed that part. Sorry, guys.
All right, let's move on to number two. So our number two biggest boost of all time, this came in on episode 14. And so this boost came from Sovereign. And so Sovereign is, that's the company that SourceNode works for. And so we had him on for episode 14. And so he decided, he followed up with Sovereign, and they actually kind of liked the pitch of, you know, we're a local Bitcoiners podcast. We talk to Bitcoin meetups. They feel like their company has a decent overlap with our audience. And so they pulled the trigger on, you know, this big boost for the show, and we're happy to read it out. So I'm going to read it out now. It is 100,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. So again, coming in from the website from Sovereign. And it says, "Here's what I'm thinking. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for helping, for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And again, that was on episode 14, Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode. So yeah, love to see it. Love to see our community taking advantage of these, these evergreen boosts that we're going to read every week over and over again until they're off the leaderboards. All right, next boost is from BTC Russell. And so BTC Russell sent us 69,421 sats, 69,421. On episode 15. And so just like we were talking about before, so this is BTC Russell's episode. So a whole big chunk of those sats ended up going to Bill and Keone's families for helping them out while dealing with that stressful time in all of their lives. So BTC Russell, his message is, let's see. So this one came in on Fountain. So 69,421 sats via Fountain. And it just says, attend your local meetup. And if there isn't one in your area, start one. Local Bitcoiners is an essential part of my 40 HPW, BTC Russell. Well, thank you, BTC Russell. And we thank you again for coming on the show. We had a great episode with you. We had a great conversation with you. And we hope everybody goes back and checks that one out if you haven't already.
Privacy is sovereignty.
Hell yes. All right, fourth place is Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City. So Spencer sent us 42,069 sats on episode 9. And that was his episode. And sorry, I lost my place a little bit here. Let me get to his boost message. So his boost came in via Podcast Guru, and it's from Sir Spencer. So thanks for having me on. I hope to continue to improve bowlafterbowl.com. And continue to evolve alongside your local Bitcoiners.com site. Iron sharpens iron, and I greatly value hearing what you guys are discovering on your value for value journey. Long live the value chain. And again, that was on Growing Slow, Build Strong Communities, KC Bitcoiners. So yeah, if you haven't checked out Bowl After Bowl yet, Bowl After Bowl is another podcast that we'd like to talk a lot about. They're kind of a show that we have a lot of respect for, and we really enjoy the content that they have. And we've learned a lot from them. And so they also have a really cool website that you can do a bunch of different things on to help support the show. So yeah, if you haven't checked out bowlafterbowl.com, definitely go check it out. All right. And then our final largest boost of all time is from SourceNode. And SourceNode sent us 22,224 sats on episode 12. And his message is rather short. His came in also from the website, and it says, Johnny's hot sauce is the bomb, which it is. And that, of course, he boosted Johnny's episode, which was Leveraging Social Capital in Charlotte and Peru. And that was with Johnny, who's Delgado's Fuego. So thank you to all of our show supporters. And if you haven't checked it out yet, if you've boosted the show in the past, if you've sent us value of some kind, as long as you've tagged us with your NPUB, you are on our supporters page. And actually, you know what? I spoke too soon. Even if you didn't include your NPUB, you're still on our supporters page. There's more interaction and more tools possible if we've got your NPUB, but you know, you're still listed there. So, head over to localbitcoiners.com/supporters and you can see, everyone who's contributed to the show. And we'll be talking about more about that stuff in the future. So that rounds out our leaderboards. And so, Rev, if you're ready, I think we can start going over the boost we've brought in since last week.
Hell yeah, man. That was cool. There's a lot of shakeups on the leaderboards. And it's great to see that people are interacting with the show in this way and really thinking about the leaderboards. It's good feedback. We appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. Let's keep having some fun. And so we're... getting into the boost here, and we got, first off, 500 sats via Fountain from Slywalker. No comment with boost, and that was on episode 15 with BTC Wrestle. Next up, we got 1,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. All right, localbitcoiners.com. I like that. From Perminerd. Perminerd says, another banger episode. Is that still what the kids say? If you aren't listening to Local Bitcoiners podcast, you should be. Hashtag yada. And that was on episode 15 with BTC Russell. And yeah, you should listen to the Yada podcast because they have a permaculture section in there. And I can't talk about permaculture on this podcast as much as I'd like to. So you can let those guys talk about it over there. You can learn a lot about permaculture if you listen to the Yada podcast. Next, we got 69421 via Fountain. We all know who this is from BTC Wrestle. Attend your local meetup, and if there isn't one, start one in your area. Start one. Local Bitcoiners is an essential part of my 40 HPW. And man, it was awesome to have you on BTC Wrestle. I think that we touched on a lot of subjects that people need to hear, and just realize that, you know, privacy is not an on-off switch. It's a path you walk. And just get started now, and you can do better and better as time goes on. Next, we got 494 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Reed. And he says, hey, Chad F., how are my NIP37 GUID tags looking? Thank you for the PR. And so Chad F. has helped us by saying, like, hey, dude, you guys can do a little bit better here. Reed, do you want to talk a little bit about what was going on with that boost?
Yeah, I wanted to, I guess I didn't even get a chance to when we were talking about the supporters page, but yeah, so Chad F. Has been working on something, I think, with the Fountain guys, maybe just with Oscar and Mary. But they have been working on a way to try to come up with a consistent boost kind of format that will show up in all the different clients that support the Podcasting 2.0 boosts. So they have this NIP73 tag where you can tag the shows in the episodes, basically podcast ID, which is, that's what these GUID tags are. And so he submitted a pull request to our site, which, you know, because our site's open source, it's on GitHub. And so he spent some time with it and actually submitted a PR, which for me, and I know I've talked about those on the show before, like, you know, I use the AI tools. It's been a great learning experience for me, but like, you know, I'm not like a real dev here. So this is the first time anyone's ever submitted a pull request on a GitHub repo that I started. So that was pretty cool for me. And so thank you, Chad F. And we really appreciate it. And we've got it merged in. And so now we're supporting these NIP73 tags. And he did reach out and said, yep, they're showing up for him on Boost Me Bitch, which is his podcast boosting website, which I think both of us have used before. So definitely happy to support that. And thank you again for supporting our website.
That's a great example of the value chain right there. You know, submit a pull request and then boost the show. And then we get to make sure everyone else is on the same page. That's cultural capital propagation. Next up, we got 121 sats via Fountain from Silas Thornbrook, says great rip. And, you know, Silas Thornbrook is an excellent curator. So if you're into a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the show, Silas Thornbrook, following him, you'll see some good content there. That guy's curating a lot of great stuff. Next up, we got 500 sats via Fountain from Code. No message, just value. And so Code, I did say you could add a message. That's cool, dude. If you don't want to keep, if you just want to just add the value, we love it, dude. And we appreciate your contribution to the show and to participate. Next, we got 5,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com, anonymous. And it says, the first Thursday of the month, Troy meetup is happening at the Orange Pill Pharmacy, Thursday, July 2nd, 928 Town Center Drive, Troy, Michigan, 7 to 9 p.m. And so this is kind of the I know the guy, maybe it is the guy, and maybe he wants to stay anonymous, so I won't say his name. But this guy started a pharmacy, started accepting Bitcoin, and then started a meetup at the pharmacy. It's kind of an interesting venue for a meetup, but they bring food. It's a good time over there. I've never been, but I know many people in the Michigan area that have been there. So if you're in that Troy area and you want to check out Orange Pill Pharmacy, meet a true Bitcoiner, you know, guys really trying to earn Bitcoin, live on Bitcoin, and participate. There's plenty of other people to meet as well. Check it out. That's Thursday, July 2nd. Thanks for the boost. And that was on the episode 15 with BTC Russell. Next, we got 209 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Permanerd. And he says, shout out to the Comex Valley meetup. It was a great experience. It was my first time and everyone was very gentle with me. Looking forward to doing it again. And that was just a general boost via the website. And and if you go listen to the most recent episode of Yada, which I think is entitled Canada is Why or something like that. I think it's Canada.
It's got Canada in the name. I can't remember what it's called either.
But he details this whole meetup adventure. It's his first meetup. And because he was listening to the show, he was prepared. He was very well prepared for that meetup. And he had a very successful, extremely positive experience. So go listen to the Yada podcast to hear that story.
Definitely a great story. You can't miss that one.
Next, we got a 101 sats via Fountain from Nostra Gang. Good morning and thanks again. Purple heart, orange heart, headphones emoji. And that was from episode 15 with BTC Wrestle. Thank you again, Nostra Gang, for your continued support.
Ride or die.
Yeah, you're participating a lot elsewhere. You're not just boosting our show, you're boosting a lot of shows and keep up that good work. That's the value chain in action. That's the velocity that we need to see to build the capital in this fledgling economy, this fledgling parallel system. Next, we got 201 sats via localbitcoiners.com from myself, Rev Hodel. And I'm once again showing off the features of this boosting mechanism, promoting my meetup. And I say the South Bend meetup is the first Thursday of every month. Next meetup is July 2nd. Post your meetups at localbitcoiners.com/meetups. And I've got a link to the Nostra event for the meetup with more details on it if you want to get to the South Bend meetup. Just the point is here, guys, is that you can really leverage when you boost. You can get so much more value out of it if you take a little bit of extra time and you embed a Nostra note in there. You could promote your favorite Nostra note. You could promote a product. You could put an event in there. You can put anything in there and it will render and it will come out to our feed and we'll be able to renote it and get the word out. So a meetup, leverage Nostra.
And I'll just say, like, we obviously want to lean in as much as we can into the Nostra ecosystem because then everything becomes intercompatible, right? Like I was talking about on the supporters page where you can boost us without an NPUB. That's fine. And you'll still be on the supporters page. But if you do boost us with an NPUB, you know, now you're in the follow packs, right? Now people can start following you on social media or, you know, maybe they can find all your NIP99 products, right? Maybe you're selling stuff. Or maybe you have a meetup posted. Now people can start to find your stuff. But I will say for the meetups too, if your meetup isn't on Nostra and maybe you really don't want I have too many things in too many places. I'm not going to do the Nostra thing. Well, that's fine too, because we have a button that you can just paste in your meetup.com link or your website link or any link to whatever place you've got your meetup. Because at the end of the day, really what we want to do here is we want to promote Bitcoin meetups. Nostra is a great interoperability layer, but you know that's what we're about here on this show. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you guys to boost your meetups, so we can talk about them and hopefully get some more people out at your meetup and really get the community recognizing all the cool stuff that you guys are doing. So just wanted to throw that out that we do have those some additional tools on the website, even if you don't have your meetup listed on Nostra.
Yeah, go in there and click around. You know, just. Poke around a little bit, post a meetup. It'll be fun. We'll talk about it. Next, we got 133 sats via Fountain from Wartime with no comment on episode 10. Interesting. Wartime went back and is boosting episode 10, which is with Sean, the Niagara Canada meetup. And that was the evolution and development of a meetup. And so thank you, Wartime. I wonder if you're trying to find your way onto the leaderboards here.
I think you mentioned that episode, I think, recently. Because we were talking, that one's kind of a sleeper episode. That was, we both really liked that episode, and it wasn't showing up on a lot of the leaderboards. So,
yeah, it's the one that, like, if you want to hear the story of somebody, like, really who just lays it out step by step of when, how they started a meetup and how it unfolded over the course of several years, this is a great episode because he just talks about all the kind of challenges and all the transformations and paths of succession that have led the meetup to becoming a flourishing thing. And it just goes to show you that the small and slow solutions do work. You know, it's an excellent episode. Next, we got 500 Sats via Fountain from William the French, WTF. What would you, would you give this economic model for small UBI for all citizens a read, please? It's not an income replacement, rather an enhancement for all. Something to smooth over the transition AI is going to cause. Your critical eye would be welcome. Cheers. And he has a link to, cheers, WTF, signed WTF. And he's got a link to an article in here. And I read this article, and I thought that maybe this was too deep of a conversation to get into on the boost section, WTF. But I did ask other people to weigh in with their opinions on Nostr, and they've commented below that. And I actually kind of, anyone who did participate with this call out got a zap of 420 sats. So in the future, if you're hanging out, looking at our feed and looking at the boosts, if there's like something that you want to interact with like this, you will get zapped. Like, this is another way of us putting that value back out there, because we want William the French to get some information on this question. But ultimately, William the French, my answer to the question is that, UBI, it's the story of the government intervention. When you have a centralized intervention, you create, you solve one problem and you create more. And there's this, I don't know who I heard this. So I heard it on some Bitcoin podcast at some point in the past, but it's generally the story of like, okay, there's a cobra problem in India. And so the Indian government puts a bounty out that everyone that kills a cobra gets 10 cents or $10 or whatever, a price per head. And so instead of people going out and killing all the cobras, people just started breeding cobras and selling them to the government, and actually made way more fucking cobras than they would have had if they had not put this rule in place. And so I think UBI in relation to inflation causes the same effect. Whereas if you just give out money freely, no matter what mechanism, to people, everybody who has a business knows that there's free money floating around, and prices will naturally rise based on this knowledge. It doesn't even have to be a market dynamic. It's literally just an informational thing. Like, you're just, me as a business owner, if I know that everyone's getting free money, well, you could give some of that free money to me. So like, I'm going to raise my price. I know everyone's got a little bit of money to play with. Anyways, that, I think that's why that UBI is a bad system and will ultimately cause more problems than it solves.
And I'll just say, I did not get a chance to read the article. Apologies for that. Maybe I will go back and give it a read. But I would say in general, I agree, Rev, with your take on it. When governments get involved in redistributing wealth, it messes with the way the free market is supposed to work, right? So it's, you're messing with the regular market signals of that's supposed to be able to be a decentralized, open way of letting humanity give proper pricing signals to whatever it happens to be in the marketplace. And so, yeah, injecting a whole bunch of cash into the system, even if you just gave it out to everyone equally, well, it, you know, all you're doing is you're just adding another zero, and nothing actually changed. Right. So all the prices, just like Reb was talking about, the prices go up and nothing really changed in the end, except, you know, the government felt that they could get more involved in your life and make you more dependent on them in some ways.
The poor people are still poor and everyone else has to pay more for that. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay. Next up, we got 2,121 sats from Orange Dad. And Orange Dad says, here's a free tool for people running Bitcoin events to get the word out and save time, primarily for posting on Twitter or X. The idea is that you already put the time in to get your event on Luma, Meetup, or Satlantis. Paste the event link into the tool, and it creates a post for Twitter and Noster as well. And then he's got a link to the GitHub. So that might be an interesting thing to get to blast your meetup out there. Check it out. Thanks, Orange Dad, for that that tool you've been creating. This is a perfect place to let everyone know about it. Give it a try. See, check it out.
I'll check it out. I mean, that's one thing that I don't do a great job with is like sending out reminders and stuff like that for meetups. So if that's a tool that can help out with that, that would probably help us as well.
Yeah, and you never know. You look at it and you're like, all right, this is open source. Maybe you can submit a PR and be like, dude, all right, you got something going on. Let's make it better. Let's work on this. We can all cooperate here. We can integrate the parallel systems together and just solve all the friction. Just reduce the friction. Next, we got the big boost, 105,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from BTC Jackalope. Escape to the Listening Loft Cabin in Wilmington, Vermont, a modern two-bedroom retreat featuring signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedding, and a peaceful deck, perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin to get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information. And that was from episode 2.
So
can
I tell one more story about this place that I could have told this before. I just kind of forgot. So one of the cool things, so he's a big music guy. I'll be honest. Like he's the guy that I talk to the most probably about a lot of the music scene in general. And so like he's a musician. He's been a musician for a long time. And so we like to talk about that kind of stuff. So he's got this listening loft cabin, of course. And one of the things that he likes to do and apologize, dude, if you're not doing this anymore, but I know in the beginning when he first had the place, anytime someone would book it, he would reach out to them and ask what their favorite album is, and he would go get the vinyl and have it for them there at the cabin so they could put on their favorite album on the record player, and then, you know, it would just live in the collection, like at the cabin, so he gets to grow his music collection of what people who might be staying there might want to listen to. And they get this cool perk where they're getting their favorite album. So it's just it's kind of a cool, almost V for V type concept that he's going on there. So it's another feature.
Awesome, dude. I it sounds enticing to me. I wish I could find a way to get off the homestead for more than a day. Next, we got 420 sats via Fountain from Undisciplined. Even more than the norm on Noster, I was struck by how much calmer the conversations are on Stacker News than is typical on social media. So Undisciplined thinks that Stacker News is even more chill than Noster. And Stacker News has been a place that I've been kind of interested in for a while. I'm just still baffled why they want to silo it off and not integrate. If they've got this great community over there, why not just join Noster and immediately? Now the friction is gone and I can just go participate. Now I got to go set up a Stacker News thing and just go to Stacker News. Anyways, Stacker News is probably cool. I haven't checked it out personally, but I've been interested in it. Next we got, and finally, this is the last boost, 222 sats via Fountain from Bullish Clips. Come visit the bullish market on Sunday, June 21st from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. Virtual Farmers Market event where we use Bitcoin as money. There will be tunes, auctions, door prizes, Bitcoin faucet, and most importantly, amazing products from Noster merchants. Excuse me. If you decide to buy something, post about it on Noster and tag Bullish Market for a 1,000 sat zap. And that's from episode 15 with BTC Wrestle.
More value chain concepts. So if you go out and talk about the Bullish Market on Noster, you can get a 1,000 sat zap. And so that's a great mechanism. And of course, he's boosting us here on this show, so we get to talk about it. And it's, you know, we talk about the Bullish Market all the time. I'm planning on being there. I know I said that for the last two, and life kind of got in the way, and I wasn't actually able to go. But I will be there as far as I know. I'll be there Sunday, June 21st. So definitely looking forward to that. And thank you as always to Bullish, longtime supporter of the show.
You know, I'm
and that rounds out the boost. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Biddish.
That's all right, man. I'm sitting here listening to you guys read all of these out, right? And talking about parallel systems and value chain and all that. I thought it was so cool because some of these big boosts, they're really getting some mileage, right? They're getting red on the leaderboards and they're out, you know, on the boosts and everything like that. It just seems pretty cool. Like there just seems to be so much value stacked up, right? Once you get all these systems integrated together, any one action you do returns, you know, tenfold.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to lean into these tools as much as we can. And you know, I think that we keep saying it seems to us like it's working, right? We're getting the interactions. We're helping our supporters by getting their message out there, you know, and we're recognizing them to the best that, you know, to the best of our ability. We have basically the whole second half of the show is a value for value show. And you know, we love it. It's fantastic for us to get to know our community members. We feel like we know a lot of these people now. We get to talk about all their stuff. So, it's been a really great adventure.
Well, and this is very similar to how nature works. You know, the plants all are able to cooperate and they're able to figure out their territories and they compete and everything. But ultimately what happens is that I've done this. I've planted trees on their own with no other support species around it. And then I planted a food forest with a bunch of support species around these trees. And guess what? The trees grow way better with the support species around it. And this is what the value for value thing does, is that everybody is winning by being in this ecosystem together. And the plants create the velocity through the root exit, through in the soil, right? And the soil is the medium in which we are transacting, right? We are communicating. It's Nostr and it's Bitcoin. And so we've got really healthy, fertile soil, and all we have to do is increase the velocity of our transactions and we will grow together exponentially than being off on our own.
What a way to wrap it up. A no better fitting close than to close out on a permaculture principle. So, all right. Well, thanks, Rev, of course. And thank you again, Biddish, for coming on the pod. We really liked, you know, learning about all the stuff you got going on. And thanks for hanging out for the V4V section. So I guess anything close us out with from either of you guys?
I just want to say thanks for having me on. You know, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I think it's super important. And I think it's, you know, it's all these connections that you guys are making right now. It's really creating this base, like you said, the fertile soil that's needed for everything else to grow above it. And as long as we have, you know, that permaculture knowledge, right, to know that complementary planting works and matters, you know, we find the way it all fits. And then it's like, you know, we'll have an incredible garden.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.